Now, Julian Weiber is back with me this afternoon, and we're moving on to the actual kings that started to move in following the Saxon invasion. Is invasion the right word?
Settlement, I think, is settlement. A better word, really.
Okay, right. So off you go.
Okay. Well, the traditional date for the first king of Essex, whose name was Aswin, is 527. That's when the kingdom starts, traditionally. He seems to have been rather subservient to Kent. He may even have been placed here by the king of Kent, who acted as his overlord. So he sort of ruled it for him, but we don't know for definite yet. There's not really very much known about him. But he did have a son called Sleda, and he became king in 587. He married Ricula, the daughter of the king of Kent, so still showing some sort of subservience. But it's, again, traditionally, in the very earliest historical works, Sleda is called the first independent king of Essex. And he gives rise to a ruling family called the Sledingas, so Sleda's people. That was the name of the royal house, a bit like the Windsors.
Right.
You've got the Sledingas. And all their names begin with S, which is very handy.
And so did each of the areas, I mean, you mentioned the King of Kent, so presumably each of the counties effectively had their own king, is that right?
Well, not each of the counties, but...
Because there weren't counties then, but...
No, there weren't, that's true. Eventually, gradually, you probably notice, if you look at a map, that the counties of England are mainly called shires.
Right.
Worcestershire, Bedfordshire,
yes.
But some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that aren't are going to be the kingdoms like Essex, Kent, Sussex. You never get Essexshire.
No.
And we are the county of Essex, but it's the Shire of Worcester.
Yeah. Surrey? Norfolk?
Surrey is also, yeah, comes into that category.
Yes.
Norfolk and Suffolk are the North Folk and the South Folk of the Kingdom of the East Angles.
All right. Good
stuff. So, these people, Aswin, Sleda, they were both before Christianity arrived here. Well, let's say, you know, modern Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they were heathens, pagans if you prefer, but that has modern connotations. But they, their god was called Siaxniat. Now, you may think, hang on, shouldn't it be Woden? Well, it was Woden everywhere else in Anglo-Saxon England, but in Essex, their big god was Siaxniat, which means the need of the Saxons. And that really emphasises their separate identity. They did have some sub-gods. They had Thor, Woden, Eostre, which gives its name to the villages of High Esther, as they used to be called, and Good Esther. And they believed, the most interesting things about them in terms of their belief is that they believed in fate. They believed that everything was written and that you can't alter fate. In other words, what's planned out for you by the gods, you have no control over. But the one thing you do have control over is how you meet that fate. So when you come to adversity or success, how you behave in the face of it is really important and will depend on whether you end up going to the Saxon equivalent of heaven or hell. And if you like, it's part of the origin of English culture, because we're the only country in Europe that has that notion of stiff upper lip in the face of adversity.
Mm.
And it comes all the way back from the Saxons. If you read Beowulf and you read the Battle of Maldon and their poetry, you'll see it's all about standing firm, keeping loyal, keeping true to what you believe, and looking danger in the face. Or what was it Kipling said something about? Looking at disaster and success, or triumph and disaster,
and
meeting
disaster.
Those two impostors just the same. Yes. It's that sort of notion. It's how you behave. And that determines what sort of person you are, whether you'll be looked up to, and where you're going in the next life.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. And where are you taking us next time, then?
Next time, the arrival of Christianity and everything that meant for us.
Right, look forward to that. Thank you.